Hallelujah. Amen. So let's get into the word. And as we convey this word to you, I hope that you receive it. Amen. Because in this word, there's miracles. There are signs. There are wonders. There are healings. This is something that we need to grab hold on to. Jesus paid a huge price, the greatest price that was ever paid. He gave his life for us. Amen? The blood that was flowing through his veins flowed out of his veins to pay for our sins. And the blood yet speaks. The blood yet speaks and declares that we're innocent. When the blood is applied to our lives, that all things of old, all sins of the past, has been washed away, thrown in the sea to remember no more. That's what the Bible say. Amen? And so you are free. Sin no longer has a hold on you. God has put a hold on you. The cross is the place in which we come to so that our sin can be removed. Amen? But when Christ rose from the dead, he declared that all power in heaven and earth is in my hands. Hallelujah. And the Bible talks about the fact that when we are buried with him through baptism, when we raise up with him, we come up brand new. Hallelujah. Our life now is brand new. Hallelujah. And when we come up brand new, we come up with victory. We come up knowing that we have conquered all through Jesus Christ. We no longer are bound by what the enemy is dictating, but we are now in love with him. Amen? Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. All right. So let's get in this seventh scripture. I'm going to read some scriptures to you, and then I'm going to talk a little bit. We're going to talk about faith today, and we're going to talk about your responsibility of increasing your faith. A lot of times, people in the body of Christ, they come in and they don't really know that when they get born again, God actually gives them faith. He gives them a seed of faith. He gives them a foundation of faith. Amen. So we're going to read this. So I'm going to be Hebrews 6:18, and I want you to make notes on this if you can, and mental notes, or draw it out, because if you declare these things and repeat these things, these things will begin to operate in your life. Amen. All right. Hebrews 6:18. And you've heard this before, but because we're going over foundational things, which we will continuously say these things, because when we hear, faith increase. Okay? And so Hebrews 6:18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to do what? To lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And so we understand that there's two things that God cannot do. The first is that God cannot lie. Say, he cannot lie. How many believe the word of the Lord? Do you believe the word of the Lord today? Amen. So if you believe the word of the Lord today, that means that it's impossible for God to lie. Say, it's impossible for him to lie. It's totally impossible for him to lie. It cannot happen. So you got to put your trust in that word. If you believe what the Bible said, you can't take bits and pieces out of it, because it is God's word revealed to us. Or in other words, it is his heart being revealed to us. And so as a result of that, if you trust in the heart of God, how many trust in the heart of God? And his heart is revealed in his word. So if you trust in the heart of God, then you got to understand that God cannot lie. And every word that proceeds out of his mouth comes with power to demonstrate what he has said. The second thing that about God that you all know is that God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. And if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, what he did yesterday, he is still able to do today. If he raised a dead man from the dead back then, he can raise a dead man today. If God can heal a blind man and open up his eyes, he can still open up the eyes today. If God created the world by his mighty power, he can still create another world by his mighty power. Amen. Amen. Whatever God did back in our time, he can still do in our time. And that means that if you trust what God has said, then you understand that God cannot lie, and you also understand that God does not change. So I want you to understand that, because God is not a liar. God cannot lie. Whatever his word says is yea and amen. That means every promise, and I'm going to just tell you, because there's some doctor out there that is lying. Every promise that God has gave in his word is for you. And it's not specialized for any this one person or that person, or I'll take this promise, it is not for you, this promise. Every promise that God has said concerning the people of God are yea and amen. Amen? That means that if you want to obtain that promise, then that means you got to have faith in the promise that he told you. If you don't believe in that promise, you can't obtain that promise. Okay? So if God says that he has a powerful people, how many are powerful people in God? Amen. That's a little bit better. We're getting better. Hallelujah. How many know that you got the Holy Ghost? And all you need is the Holy Ghost. And let me dispense, and I know what we mean when we say double portion, and I know we get excited about the double portion, but we all have a double portion if you want to believe it. We all have the same Holy Ghost, right? And there's no difference in the Holy Ghost. It's one Holy Ghost, amen? And he's in all of us. That means he's able to move in all of us the same way. Anybody saying nothing? If you can heal, I can heal. If you can see in the realm of the Spirit, I can see in the realm of the Spirit. Why? Because I got the same Holy Ghost. If I have the same Holy Ghost, I have the same opportunity like you. Every promise is what? Yea and what? Amen, right? God doesn't give out different promises for different people. He gives out different assignments, but the promises that he's made is yea and amen. Somebody ought to say amen to that. All right. Hebrews 11:1. And of course, most of you know the Hebrew is the faith chapter. It's a faith book. Notice what it says. Now faith is the substance of things what? Hoped for, and the evidence of things what? Not seen. So in other words, I'm going to just say it like this. You and I have to believe first in the unseen before it becomes seen. Are you listening to what I say? You have to believe in the unseen before it becomes seen. And God gave us as human beings made in his image the ability to see in the invisible and see in the visible. That's why when God says in his word that you must believe by faith, it means that you already have the ability to know what's going on in the unseen, so that you can see what's going on in the seen. Or, in other words, what goes on in the unseen can manifest in the seen because you already see it before it happens. The Holy Spirit is given to us. How many have the Holy Ghost? I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost that is just dormant. There's a big difference. And I long for the days when people receive the Holy Ghost and they would jump, run, holler, scream. They would roll on the floor. That we used to call as holy rollers. They used to holler, scream, jump, holler, and shout because they were excited about the Holy Ghost. Amen? I'm excited about the Holy Ghost. And if we're not excited about the Holy Ghost, we need a refreshing. We need a rain. We need a deluge. Hallelujah. We need a clear out washing. Because I'm excited about what God is doing. I'm excited about the time in which I'm living in. I'm excited about the power of God moving in this time. This is the greatest time of any believer can live in right now. And what's coming. And most of us don't even know what's coming, and so we have not prepared ourselves for what's coming, and so our faith is going to be tested to see if you can stand. And if we're not able to stand, we're going to fall. And maybe some of you don't know this, but the persecution of the church of Christians across the world has increased dramatically. One survey said 300%. And they're killing them. They're persecuting them. They're beating them. They're raping them. They're doing all these things because they stand up for the name of Jesus. And here we sit having trouble with bills, having trouble with sicknesses, when there's a greater thing that is going to come upon us. If you can't believe God for those small things, how are you going to believe God to protect you against what the enemy is trying to do and persecute you? We have to develop our faith so we can walk in the things that God has called us to walk in. If you cannot believe in the unseen world, in the angelic realm, that God has protection around you and the guardian angels around you, when they come to persecute you, how are you going to call on those that you cannot see? God is expecting us to increase our faith. The kingdom of God is here, and we're in a battle. And you and I have got to realize that this is not just skipping through the tulips. This is just not the Wizard of Oz with Dorothy. There is a devil out there, and he's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. Now listen to what I'm saying. We got to develop our faith in the God that we claim that we serve. And if we don't develop our faith in the God that we claim that we're going to serve, we're going to die the death eternally. Because if you deny him before the Father, he's going to deny you. This is tough stuff. Amen. Amen. Praise him. I'm excited about God. I don't know about you. It's the greatest time because God wants to use you. Say, God wants to use me. Yes, you. Yes, you. And yes, you. And you might say in your mind, because I can hear those thoughts coming in, I don't know if I can be used. Yes, God can use you. If he can use a donkey, he can surely use you. If he can use a raven, he can surely use you. Hallelujah. And you're greater than a raven. You're greater than a donkey. You've been made in the image of God. So God wants for you to develop your faith so he can use you for the sake of the kingdom so that God can get the glory. So you have to have, and I've got to have, the ability to see in the unseen so that what we see in the unseen can become visible in the seen. So that's what faith is all about. My ability to trust in the unseen world so that it can manifest in the seen world. Amen? Hebrews 11:6. Notice what the scripture says. And I want you to get this. And I know we've been saying it, but I need you to get it. I need you to get it. I need me to get it. I need all of us to get it. Because if you don't get this basic foundational concept, you're going to always fall victim to what the enemy is doing. Okay? Notice what it says about faith. But without faith, somebody said, without faith. But without faith, say it again. It is impossible to please him. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. How many know that he is? And that he is a what? A rewarder of them that diligently do what? Seek him. And I found out the reason why. I found out the reason why. It's not for God's benefit. It's for your benefit. So when you see, when you have faith, God smiles. When you don't have faith, God does not. For without faith, it is impossible. Notice what it says. It's impossible to please him. Right? This is what this word, is that what the word says? So, everybody take an inventory of your own life. What area, and the same thing goes for me, what area in our lives that we don't believe God in? That's the area that God is not pleased with. You listen to what I'm saying? So if you lack and you don't believe God and you lack, God is not pleased in that area. It means that you're always going to be in lack. If you are always battling situations and circumstances and you don't believe that you can have God character, then that means that that's a problem. If you don't believe that you can have the mind of Christ, you got a problem. I got a problem, because that's the area that God is not pleased in. And if he's not pleased in it, that means that you cannot be transformed. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Many people today, many Christians today, they always excuse themselves. And we excuse ourselves from the thing that troubles us the most. We make excuses that it's generational, it's DNA. Yes, it might be in DNA, but now you got another DNA that's overshadows that over DNA. You're born again. Somebody said born again. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New, right? So you cannot use that excuse on God, because God says, I made you brand new. And there's something that we have to do in order to make sure that we're standing in line with God's word. Okay? So I'm going to read it again. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to what? Please him. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he what? That he is, and that he's what? A rewarder of them that do what? Diligently. And I'm going to come back to it. Somebody say diligently. Diligently, diligently. That means you got to consistently seek the face of God. Because if you consistently seek the face of God, then you're going to always hear his word. If you hear his word, faith grows. Romans 10:7. Romans 10:7 says, so then, listen to me, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. Maybe the biggest problem in the church is that we are not hearing the word. Maybe the biggest problem that we've got and why things are not happening in our lives is because we will not hear the word. You cannot hear sermons all the time. You cannot hear what other people are saying all the time. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Hallelujah. You cannot hear what tapes and seminars always give you, because tapes and seminars are not the word. What you ought to be hearing and what I need to be hearing is the word of God. Somebody say the word. The word, the word. If you want to increase your faith, you got to hear the word. Somebody say, I got to hear the word. And you need to hear the word. Somebody say, I need to hear the word. You cannot grow in the things of God unless you hear. You cannot speculate. You cannot articulate it. You got to hear. That means that you need to put that word on and you need to keep hearing it. And you need to hear 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 it. Notice what the scripture says I just read. It says, he that cometh to God must first believe that he what? He is, and that he's what? A rewarder of them that do what? Diligently what? Seek him. How do we seek him? We seek him by opening ourselves up to hear him. When I come to him and I make my petition before him, what I need is a word that comes back to me. Let me say something. I know most of you already know this, but prayer is not one way. Prayer is a two-way conversation. And let me tell you something about what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost will never speak nothing outside of what the word says. He will not just come up with a blanket statement without having a word to it. There's a lot of people that start off doing stuff and they heard something in their spirit, heard some voice, but it wasn't the word backed up with the word. It carried some kind of word, but they didn't hear the word. That's why when I tell people, when they talk about, I'm going to start ministry or stuff like that, a few years ago we had classes on starting ministry, I said to them that you never start unless you get a word. Unless you get a word, that's when you start. But if you never have a word, you never start. Because the word is what's going to sustain you. That's why I'm still here. That's why I'm still here, because there's times that I felt like giving up, but the word came back to me and said, my God is a consuming fire. There's times where you want to give up. There's times that, because when you deal with ministry, you're dealing with demons, you're dealing with personalities, you're dealing with character, you're dealing with situation, you're dealing with demons, demonic assignments, you're dealing with all of these things, and if you are not settled in the word, you will not be able to handle it. And so when I'm in my lonely place, when I don't know what to do, when I want to give up, there's a word that always comes to me that sustains me. Our God is a consuming fire. And it renews you because it's stamped in my spirit. And if it's not stamped in your spirit, it's not a word. So I would say, hallelujah. So whenever you're doing something for God, make sure you got a word. Because the word is going to carry you. The word is going to sustain you. That's how your word increase. I need God to increase me in faith. I need God to increase me in stability and knowing that what God said is yea and amen. And the only way I'm going to do that is I got to carry a word. And in your situations and in your circumstances in your life, you need a word. If you are in lack, you need a word. If you're sick, you need a word. Amen? If you don't have a word, you'll never get healed. If you don't have a word for your riches, you'll never get your riches. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. You'll be going around making excuses of why. So we have to learn how to exercise our faith. So I need to exercise my faith. I need to exercise my faith. God gives us the responsibility to exercise our faith. Okay? Now let me just tell you this real quickly. You cannot, this is the very first foundational rule, which we have a hard time dealing with it. We have a hard time. All of us have a hard time with it. Men and women have a hard time with it. Pastors have a hard time with it. And no matter how far up in rank you feel like you're going, you're still human. And you still have attacks. And you still have to keep your body under subjection. Mortify the deeds of the body. That's what the Bible says. Amen. And so faith operates on the basis of your ability to trust in what the word says regarding your circumstance. So we have a circumstance. We can't see and we can't see our way out of it unless you've got a word to actually open up the realm where you can see what's going on in the unseen so that you can see it manifest in the seen. So in other words, if you are sick in your body, the doctors give you a report and say, you're going to die. And you have so much time to live. Something has to happen. Right? Right? I'm going to use, I need a young child. I need a child, a young child. Any early in the back? Oh, yeah. Antoine, come on. Jesus says this. Come to me as a child. Because a child doesn't have agendas. All they have is fun. They have fun in what they want. They're not jaded by anybody or anything like that. For the most part, if a child grows up, they really just want stuff. Right? We just want stuff. We want what we want, right? And so what we have to do is we have to grow them up to tackle certain things in our life, right? So Jesus tells us to come to me as a child. So, Antoine, you know me? So if I said that we're going to go get ice cream, would you believe me? If I said I'm going to buy you some candy, would you believe me? If I said that I'm going to buy you a big present, would you wait for it? Would you call me and ask me about it? Maybe. That's good. And why would you call me? Because I might be taking a little long. But if I gave it to you right away, you would have no problem. But if it was like 2 or 3 weeks out of the way, you kind of like be wondering, wouldn't you? You come back and ask me. You call me up. Why would you do that? You're just waiting for the present. And that's because we have established a relationship from the time you came out to where you are now. And so you know something about me. So you know if I'm going to buy you candy, I'm going to keep my word, right? So if a little child can come to him, come to me, because there is a relationship between us, whatever I say, he trusts, right? And it doesn't matter to him how I do it, because it's up to me. All he cares about is that you promised. So if I said we're going to get some, so this summer, I promise I'm going to buy you some ice cream. You going to remind me? You better believe it. Because he trusts that what I tell him that he is going to actually receive. Right? Now, I could delay it if he does something that he ain't got no business doing. I said, you know, that ice cream will have to delay it a few because you didn't do what you're supposed to. He'd be kind of like, what? He'd be disappointed. He'd be doing everything that he can to make sure that he meet the criteria to make sure that that ice cream I promised him will come forth. Right? Never deny, but just what? Delayed. And so what we need to do is we need to have faith like this. And the only way that he can have faith in me is that he has to have a relationship with me. Right? So if there's somebody out there, if there's a child out there that doesn't know me, that person will be a little cautious about, I don't really know you. I don't really know you at all. So I said, I'm going to go get you ice cream. If he's been taught right by his parents, then he would say, I'm not going with you. I don't know nothing about you. I don't know you. Thank you. Great. Let's give him a hand. He's got great ministry in him anyway. He's going to do some great things. Amen. So unless we get rid of the junk, and the junk is being an adult in the world, and come to God like a little child and have and establish a relationship, because every word that comes out of my mouth based on a relationship that we have, he will believe me. If he believes me, that means he's going to trust me to make sure that I fulfill what I said. How many believe that today? So the question would be is, what are you asking God for? And if you're asking God for it, then you cannot look at what you see with your natural eyes. You cannot listen to what people say with your natural ears, or what the enemy say with his natural ears. You cannot go, and this is the biggest one, never go by your feelings. I'm going to say it again. Never, ever go by your feelings. You can go by the inner man's sense, but never go by your feelings. It is a difference. So you cannot go by your feelings, because feelings many times will get you in trouble because you are responding to something. The word don't have to have a response. It's just believe. That's what it says. That's what I believe. So it is. So it be. I don't care about how God does it. That's not my business. I think it was Kenneth Hagin said this. He says that he was asking God about how you're going to do this and how you're going to do that. And God says, I'll take care of what's going on up here. You take care of what's going on down there. I'll take care of my own business. You take care of yours. Your business is trusting. My business is doing. Y'all can get that? Let me say it again. God's business is doing. Your business is trusting. Amen? So you need to understand that. And then you cannot regard what you feel as far as what other people have said and what other people are doing. You can't compare yourself to what other people are doing, because many times God got you in the backwoods or in the backside of the mountain until it's time to reveal you. Faith operates strictly on the word. And I think I told you a couple of weeks ago that during the healing movements, there was a lot of people that were moving in the realm of the spirit. They were operating in the spirit, but they had no word. The word was, they had very little word. And because they had very little word, when the enemy came with them with this or came with them that, they failed because they were not sustained by the word. Somebody say the word. I need the word. Somebody say, I need the word. I need the word. If you don't have the word, at some point in your life, you're going to fall unless it's the grace of God. So you need the word. Somebody say, I need the word. Okay. James 2:18. Somebody say, I need the word. I need Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I need Jesus. Courtney, I need Jesus. Okay. Now, faith is just not hearing. Faith is just not operating. I hear the word and I just hear it. I just hear it. I just hear it. Do you know what happens to people that eat and never exercise? It's not just that they gain weight. Their muscles are not used, so they become flabby. So I'm the first. I'll say this here, because my wife says all the time, you need to exercise. Okay? So I'll just use myself. So when you become flabby, there's things that you cannot do. It doesn't matter how you can come up with somebody that's a big giant, and if they doesn't exercise, they can't really pick up nothing but maybe 50 pounds. They can begin. You say, that's a big guy. And when they try to pick it up, they strain. Why? Because they have not what? Exercise. We need to exercise. Some small guy comes along and he picks it up and he runs around with it, and the big guy's like, I wonder how he did that. There's a reason why. Is because he did what? Exercise. And most of the young men today, they exercise because they want to show their muscles. They want to show that they got some substance, right? So if you want to show your faith, if you want to show how your faith is, you got to exercise so you can show some what? Substance. James 2. Ye, a man may say, thou have faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. But what then thou know, O ye vain man, that faith without works is what? So whenever you hear the word, you got to perform an action as a result of the word. So here's something that maybe you can understand. To operate in the healing anointing, there's two things that you must understand about the law of the natural and the law of the unseen. Because when you read the word, there's something very explicit that talks about in the word. The very first thing that talks about the fact is that your body is the temple of what? The Holy Ghost, right? Yes or no? Okay, so the Bible tells us how that we should take care of our temple, right? That means that you don't have the right to desecrate your temple by eating wrong. Because where the Holy Ghost abides in is in your body. So you can't just say, by his stripes I'm healed, and go out and all you eat is candy. You're wrong. And you've got to be able to begin to understand that there is laws that are in the physical realm, in the natural realm, and there's laws in the spiritual realm. So what happens is that if you understand the healing anointing, how the healing anointing will operate in your life, then you got to understand, first of all, that when you minister to people, you got to ask them about their eating habits. You got to, and these are just some things, and there's a whole bunch to it, but I just, real quickly, you got to understand that if people are eating wrong, and sometimes they don't, sometimes it's DNA, it's a whole bunch of other things that goes with it, but just so you understand what I'm talking about, is that if you're eating wrong and something comes up on your body, that means that you need to stop. You need to stop, right? When you got saved, he tells us to stop sinning. Yes? That means change. So if God heals you, you need to change. What is ailing you, you need to change it. Hallelujah. Listen to what I'm saying. You need to change in every single area that are not following the word of God. You need to follow what the word says. Then you need to act upon what the word declares. All right, let me see if I can do it another way. Okay, Antoine, come back. I need you to see it. So, Antoine, okay, I'm going to make another promise to you. Okay? Okay. I want you to be healthy and strong. Okay? So, what I want you to do is I want you to eat vegetables. And I want you to eat fruit. I want you to eat that every single day. Now, if you eat that, then you're going to grow up and be big and strong. And then you're going to get another task. Then you're going to be able to do some really in-depth preaching. You're going to be able to stand before the multitudes for hours. But you got to sustain your body. You agree with me? Are you going to do that? You think that's going to be hard sometimes? Okay, see? See, he says it's going to be hard sometimes, right? Right? He's being honest. So, how then? So, what can I do to help you meet that, to do that? Okay, you don't know? Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to help you by checking on you every single day to make sure that you fulfill that. Okay? So, I want you to call me every day and say, I've ate my vegetables. Can you do that? You can't miss a call now. If you miss a call, that means I can't instruct you. I can't help you. But you got to come to me every day with that. Right? All right. So the example is this, is that if I give him instructions and he needs help, then the only way that he's going to reinforce what I told him is that he has to continuously talk to me. Continuously talk and so that I can continuously encourage him and use the word. So the question is that if you or I want God to help us in this situation, we need to be consistently come before him. Knows what the Bible says. But he that comes to God must first believe that he what? He is, and that he's a rewarder of them that do what? Diligently do what? Thank you, sir. I might have to call you back. So, you hear what I said? So, you got to be able to act upon what you hear. You got to be able to search the scriptures, be approved. And that means that you got to find out the areas of your life that you are lacking in, the areas of life that you don't believe God in, and you got to build your faith. God doesn't increase your faith. He gives you faith. He gives you the basis of faith, and then you have to increase your faith. Notice what he says. And in the scriptures, when he talks to the disciples, he says, believe in God. If you believe in me, also believe in God. Amen? Now, here's some more examples in. I'm not going to have you turn it, but the scripture tells us about how the word of God works. It never fails. And I'm going to say right now, God's word never fails. Somebody said God's word never fails. So it doesn't fail. It just doesn't fail. It just doesn't. If there's any failure, it's not in God, it's in us. Anybody agree with that? Right? Because God is perfect. God doesn't have failure. It's not in his vocabulary. Okay. So in Mark 9:20, you don't have to turn there. We can ask the woman with the issue of blood, what is it that she did to get God's attention? Now remember now, Jesus is walking past. And I want you to see it. Jesus walking past, not paying any attention. See, a lot of times, you can get God to do something for you when God really had no intention of doing it. Anybody saying nothing? Jesus is walking down the highway, going about his business. This woman that heard about Jesus, saw him, heard that he could heal. Jesus going about his business. And because she heard about him, what she did is she ran after him with faith. And her action of touching the hem of his garment pulled out of him the power that was needed for her to get healed. And a lot of times, you're not dramatic enough, or I'm not dramatic enough to get God's attention, because we won't praise him enough. We won't magnify him enough. We're not desperate for him enough. Amen. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. And if it hurts to say ouch, we're not mad enough about it. We don't get mad at the enemy. The devil's trying to destroy you. He's trying to literally kill you. And we are not desperate enough to get the blessings that God has for us because we think it's just supposed to come like we're so privileged. We are not that privileged. God expects his children to run after him just like he ran after you. If you come to him, he'll come to you. Yes? He'll meet you where you're at. And there are times that God will come to you, and most of those are those that are not saved. But those that are saved, and you're his child, he expects for you to ask him. He expects for you to declare to him. That's why he said, remind me of my word. Tell me what I said. Repeat to me what I said so that you can be blessed. And sometimes God just sits there and waits for you to say it, but you never say it, so he can never do it. Because there's no action behind your faith. Because you really don't believe what he says about you. Anybody saying too much? It's a quiet day. But it's all right. God is doing something right now. And you're thinking about it, and the word is going inside of you. You can ask the man that had this, the Roman soldier that had a sick servant. Notice what he says about it. Jesus, I have my servant is sick. I need you. My servant is sick, and before the man get finished, he says, "I'll come and heal him." He said, "No, I don't need that." Notice how his faith is. He's got great faith. He says, "I don't need you to say that. All I need for you to do," and he goes through a scenario. He says that I'm one in authority. And I tell my servants to go, and they do what I say. And they come, and I tell them to go, and they come back and forth. He said, all you need to do is speak the word. Why? Because he is the word, and the word that goes forth will accomplish what he said. Speak the word. And he marveled. Jesus marveled. He says, so shall it be according to your faith. And the Bible says that very same hour his servant was healed. Why? Because he exhibited faith. And his work was, all you need to do is speak, Lord. That's all you need to do, speak. Somebody ought to say, all I need to do is speak. All I need to do is get him to speak. All I need to do is get him to speak. You know, many times Jesus did a lot of stuff. And you know why he did it? Because he is the word. He was showing us how the word operates. Isn't Jesus the word? When he stretched forth his hand to heal, that was the word doing it. When he spit on the spittle clay and put it on the man's eyes and told the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam that was 3 days away, it was because the word told him to do a task and he acted upon what the word told him and the word was manifested. And many of us today, God told you to do something and you haven't even done the first thing. How are you going to get into the second thing without doing the first thing? And we learn that through servitude. Our faith increased because of servitude. If the master tells you to do something, there's no like, I'm not doing it. That doesn't count with God. What he tells us to do is to serve him and to follow what he says. And when we do that, then faith comes into manifestation because we learn how to follow the word. How many want to follow the word? How many want to follow the word? Are you want to follow the word? Because faith is the building blocks. We hear the word and it builds our faith. Jesus is the word. And when the word is declared, we must trust him. Now go to Hebrews 11. How many know that Jesus is working right now? Think about what I'm saying to you. Think about what I'm saying to you. Why? Because I'm trying to get your faith built. Things happen in my life because of the fact that I've submitted myself to the word. And I'm not all there. But the words, that the things that I've submitted to, they are happening. There are things that I wanted from God, and I had to seek God's face for it to happen. And I diligently seeked him until it happened, because my faith had to grow in that particular area. In order for my faith to grow in that area, I had to hear. Somebody said, I have to hear. And most people, they don't believe in that. They believe that I'm just going to read the scripture. That don't work. You got to hear it. That's what the Bible says. Faith comes by what? It doesn't say by reading. Some people think that faith comes by praying. Faith don't come by praying. Faith comes by what? Hearing. That's what the Bible says. It does not say anything in the Bible about praying faith. About, I'm going to pray until faith comes. It doesn't say it. You won't find it. Faith comes by what? Hearing. Prayer is a result of your faith. Anybody saying nothing? When I pray, it's because I believe. And because I heard, so I'm going to pray because I believe that he lives forever. I believe that I can communicate with him. That's why I pray, because I heard something that says that I have the ability to communicate with God. I have the ability to go into the throne room. I have the ability to do what God says. That's how it happens. Faith does not come but by what? Hearing. How can they hear unless what? There's a preacher. And how can they preach unless they've been what? Sent. You got to hear. Somebody say, I got to hear. And most of us got all these great devices. You know, I'm an electronics guy, so I love all the gadgets. I like the greatest gadgets. I can't wait till they come out with the holograms. I'm waiting for the holograms so I can just kind of draw what I want in the atmosphere. And it'll just come, and that's coming. And I'll be one of the first ones to get it. But you and I need to take our phones and our iPads and all that stuff and hear. Somebody say, hear. You don't even have to read it now. All you gotta do is put the tape on or put the iPad on, and it'll read it to you. It'll read it to you. You'll be driving your car, and not as you're driving your car and you're hearing the word, your faith is growing. Your muscles are being exercised, because when you hear it, then you exercise what you heard. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I exercise it because I hear. I hear what the word says. How many want to hear what the word says in your life? A lot of people have been tricked by the enemy because they have not heard the word. Let me just say this real quickly and I'll be finished. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 7. I'm going to say this one. Back in the day of creation, there was never ever rain. There was never ever rain at all. Matter of fact, before rain was, there was just a mist that came up on the earth and it covered the grass and it watered all the plants. So no one had ever seen rain. And that day the Nephilim was there and giants was there in that day, and no one had ever seen rain. None. Never seen rain. Never knew about it. All they knew was there was a mist that came. And Noah heard something. He said, by faith, verse 7, by faith, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. He never saw rain. He never seen the earth move with water. Move with fear. He acted upon what he heard. And because he acted upon what he heard, he prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, by which is by what? Faith. Somebody say, he heard. He acted upon what he heard. Somebody say, he acted upon what he heard. And when he acted upon what he heard, you saw the manifestation because of what he heard. He moved upon it, and then he prepared himself for it. And as he prepared himself for it, then it came. Now, I'm going to say something. There's a lot of men, there's a lot of women want to get married, but they haven't prepared themselves. They're asking for a spouse, but haven't prepared themselves. They come up with excuses that there's no men out there. There's a lot of men out there. There are treasures waiting for you. God prepared treasures. They have to be, you know, treasures that's found in the ground has aged over years. And the deeper they are, the more precious stones they come out. And a lot of times God has the person set for you because they're being processed. But you got to prepare for the process. If you don't prepare yourself, then you won't what? Receive. Then you go for any old thing. You got to prepare yourself. Amen? And then there's some people that want to get out of what they're in. And they prepare for themselves for that. Anybody saying nothing? But you got to prepare yourself. Whatever that God tells you in his word, you have to be prepared. You got to prepare for it. You got to allow the preparation period to take place. So when you don't see it right away, don't get upset. Don't say that God won't do it, because when you do that, you cancel out what you just said. And goes back to zero. Plus one minus one equals what? Zero. So when you say something, and even if the thought comes to your mind, don't let it come out of your mouth. For you'll cancel what God has already taken place, because you believed in the beginning. Now you came because a situation come up. You cancel out what God is doing. Are you listening to me? God has something for you. He wants you to grow your faith. You are responsible for it, not God. You are responsible for growing your faith. God gives you the seed. He gives you the foundation of it, but you're responsible for growing it. You can't grow without hearing. And if you don't hear, you can't act. And if you don't act, you'll never get the manifestation of it. Just that way. It just doesn't come half-heartedly. Sometimes God will do that for those that are outside of the kingdom. But once you get into the kingdom and you get kind of grown up, God is not going to do that for you. He's expecting you to do it because you're supposed to be mature. He even says in the word that when you should be teachers, you're still sucking on milk. You're not mature. You got to live right. You got to do the things that are right. You got to obey the word. And when things are not working out, you don't swivel up. You don't back up. Yes, you cry. Thoughts may come to your mind, but you get up and fight another day. You never give up. You never, ever give up. You keep fighting until the fighting is done. And then when you get really mad, you can get God's attention. We haven't got mad enough yet. We're still comfortable. But you just wait. Wait until the persecution raises up in the United States. And wait until that happens, and then we'll see if you come in. We'll see if you're going to trust your God. Because it's coming. And I'm prophesying that to you because it's coming. Because I've seen it come. And when I've seen it come, I know that it's coming. And we've got to stand fast on the liberty that Christ has set us free. And we've got to be able to declare what God has said in our hearts and our minds. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. So faith comes by what? And hearing by what? The word.